Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. This is Adam of the AP course, along with Anthony Guadia, who should be coming on in a moment, and Dan Benjamin, who should be on in just one moment after that. Gentlemen, are you both connected with me?
I'm here, Adam. This is Dan.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Anthony, are you there, or are you hiding?
We are back. Hey, it's been a long break.
I know. It's been so long.
It's like 3 weeks.
Dan, I feel like – I know. Dan, I feel like I owe you a huge apology. I, as you may have known, I've recently taken on a role at Town Hall, and getting acclimated to that has kind of gotten me a little bit away from doing this. But I love doing this, and, you know, I love the audience that we kind of adhere to, so – definitely wanted to give you the opportunity to come on and talk, and thank you for working with us on that.
Well, you know, it's been so long, my pension actually went up a couple of bucks, so.
Well, let me just say, you know, it's been a...
Go on.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was going to say, you know what, I was going to say just that it has been a while, and, you know, jokes aside, and Adam, you should take credit for this. I mean, we get around 50 to 60 listeners, you know, a show, which is pretty good. I mean, a lot more than I thought when we started. So this should be a lot of fun, and hopefully we're giving some these candidates a pretty good exposure. And tonight we got Dan, who, Dan, I got to tell you, I think you're the most interesting candidate in the race. And we'll get into that in just a second.
Yeah, so if you guys don't mind, I kind of want to get like right into it, because obviously we always run almost to the very end of these things. So Dan, right off the bat, I mean, you've obviously been on so many different boards and committees within town. Why are you running specifically this year? And, you know, what do you think is one of the major issues that like made you run?
Well, I think the reason that I'm running is I'm a townie. I love my town. I want to do good for my town. As you can see in all the boards and committees I'm on, I'm very well-rounded in the town. I know what's going on. I think I'm just as good as anybody up there at Lafayette Street that's there now. And I think I can do a good job, and maybe I can add a little bit something extra to the Board of Selectmen.
And I just want to follow up on that, because I think you mentioned it, Dan. So what is that something extra? What do you think you bring that other candidates don't? Because I do think you bring something, and again, I'll get into all this in a minute, but what do you think it is?
Well, when I say well-rounded, I think I'm a Vietnam veteran. I bring the veterans' exposure into the town. I'm on the Commission of Disabilities, so I'm an advocate of the disabled people in Wakefield. My wife has a vision disability, so I know it well. You know, I'm a townie. You know, I know pretty much just about everything that's going around, you know, in Wakefield. And sometimes I read the item and sometimes I don't.
No, that's good. Adam, can I get into my pet issue? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Go right ahead. We'll have a blast for 15 minutes on that. So you go right ahead, my friend.
So, Dan, I don't know if you've listened to the show before, but we've had Tony Longo on and we've had Peter May on. And the topic I always start with, and it's the topic that I'm most in favor of, is building a new high school. So here's, for me, the $64,000 question. I've come out publicly and said I would support a tax increase to build a new high school. Let me ask you, would you support a tax increase to build a new high school, you know, or go even further and build new elementary?
Well, that is the big question. I think it's 5 years down the line, but I know Wakefield is either this week or next week is sending in the statement of interest to the MSBA, and that statement is just a concept of what they want. And I believe there's like six options. Four of them are renovations to the school, but those renovations basically architectural. They bring the school up to HVAC, electrical, plumbing codes, but not in educational code. And, you know, I'm a senior, and I'm looking out for everybody. I'm looking out for the young. I'm looking out for the older people in town. I understand it probably maybe even you and Adam. You're young, you know, you have a young family, you're in careers that maybe have a chance of, you know, getting a pay increase going along through the years. But some of these seniors, you know, they're on a fixed income, and I shouldn't say just seniors, there's people on, that are veterans, disabled, that also are on fixed incomes. And I think we have to look after them too. And do I favor a school? At the point when it's very sketchy and all we're looking at is drawings, I would support a school. But, and that's the big but, I think we got to look into part of the school project, which is going to be the, I don't know what we're going to do with the Performing Arts Center. I don't know what we're going to do with WCAT, which just signed a 10-year lease. The Central School District office is right there beside the field house. Nobody has mentioned anything about that. Are we going to build another building that will add to the cost? Are we going to rent out space? I've also brought up the fact that Northeast Voc School up the street is sending in a statement of interest at the same time that we will be sending it in. We're going to have to, you know, coordinate these buildings together at the same time. Both are going to be building at the, and I believe it's the same architects that's doing it. I could be wrong on that, but I think it is. And, you know, there's a lot to talk about as far as the plans itself. All we're looking at is just that drawing and concept. As soon as we see some more plans, architectural plans, the statement of interest, it's going to take the MSBA a year to even decide whether we qualify for that. So, you know, we got a year to look it over and get some, you know, a little more into it as far as planning. What can you add to that?
No, I do want to make one comment because I feel it was really rude of me and Adam not to do that. Dan, before we even go any further, my apologies for not saying this. Thank you for your service and thank you for serving in Vietnam. All jokes aside, and we all joke with each other a lot, we're all friends. That is awesome of you and something I've never done or never, you know, been willing to do. So thank you for your service.
Well, thank you.
Now, with that said, I'm going to push back on your answer. I mean, Dan, you know, I adore you. I adore Lois. I think, you know, your answer, it's good. I think it was more articulate than some of the candidates we've talked to and we've seen. And I just want to make sure I have your position clear. So
let me give you an example on that is, you know, back in 1954, I was a little kid of probably 6 or 7 years old. And I played hide-and-go-seek in the high school on Main Street, the Memorial High School. And 12 years later, I went to that school. You know, at that time, it was a fairly new school, and it had everything. And I think that, you know, somebody in my time paid for that. Yes, there were seniors out there and people that maybe couldn't afford, but they thought enough about education that they built that school. And I think that I I'm thinking of the kids of the future, and I think they deserve the best education and the best quality schools and that Wakefield can give them.
And so I think you're actually on there, and I think so your answer is basically, as of today, you know, you support the concept of paying a bit more to get a new high school. However, you're kind of just giving the conduit of it's still in the idea phase, and you want to make sure some of these questions are answered before you commit fully. So it's kind of like, yes, in the ideal world, if everything goes smoothly, you would support an override. Only holdback is that you want to make sure these issues are – you'd want to see more plans. But in general, you kind of – you favor the idea.
Yes, as a selectman, I have to look at all ideas and all plans. I've got to think about everybody, you know, and I just can't – come right out now and say, yes, I'm for it. I probably will be for it. But, you know, I also want us to look at the seniors in town and the people that might not be able to pay for it and come up with abatements or something that, you know, could help them out, you know, a circuit breaker or something that could help them out with money to finance the school. I think even the seniors in town would like to see the best school available for Wakefield. But they also need some kind of an incentive to of an abatement are a circuit breaker, and there's a lot of seniors out there that don't even know circuit breakers exist, you know, and it could give them well over $1,000 in taxes per year, and that's retroactive sometimes, going back a couple of years, but I think that's what we need to do.
I'm very impressed because you're the first candidate, and this isn't a shot at the candidates you've had before, but you're the first candidate I've heard mention circuit breakers for seniors. And I'm going to give you kudos right now. I haven't announced who I'm voting for, and I hope we do a show where I do. But, I'll tell you, that is one of the best answers I've heard where you just said, one of the things you'd look out for is for those seniors who really can't afford it, having there is a state program that does circuit breakers, but making sure that is easily available because I think
only 10% of the seniors take advantage of that or even know it exists. So, it's out there for them.
I only knew because in law school I was a clerk with Representative Broder, now Representative Broder, but at the time was, the general counsel at Elder Affairs. And you're right. I mean, the few people that take advantage of it is ridiculous. And I would be very supportive of the idea, and I think a lot of seniors would be, that there being some sort of abatement. This is all state funded anyway. For people who truly can't afford an override.
And you just hit the word. It's state funded. It isn't coming out of Wakefield's taxpayers. It's state funded.
Dan, kudos to you. Nobody else has brought this. At least I haven't read about it. Maybe they have in private conversation.
Yeah. But, I'm no financial expert or anything, an expert on taxes. But, I just see this out there, and I'm saying, why don't people take advantage of it? I want to see, the seniors taken care of, the veterans, the disabled, but I also want, the children of Wakefield to have the best education possible. And if we work together, we can do it. They had to galvanize, and that was working together with everybody. Let's memorialize and make it work like the Galvin did.
Dana, all right, so this isn't nearly as much of a debate as I thought it would be. So, Adam, next question. that was a good answer. Dana, just to recap, I think your answer was great. It was, on paper, I'm for it. I want to see some more details before I fully get behind it, and I'd like to create a plan to help abate the taxes for seniors. It's kind of unfair to Phyllis and Ann who are coming on after you, because if I were them, I would just tell them to copy your answer. That was great.
Well, that's definitely true. And as Anthony said, thank you again for your service. We should have said that right off the bat. Really appreciate that. And, something that, never that myself or Anthony have ever thought of. So, again, thank you for that. So Anthony's obviously hill that he dies on is, everything about the school and education, which to his credit, is something that's very important to the town. Myself, I guess the hill that I die on is, in regards to our downtown and how our merchants and businesses are. I think that there's been, over the past couple of years, a lot of good progression that's gone on. But I wanted to get your sense and take, even though I kind of got a little bit of that at the Democratic Town Committee. I wanted to kind of hear your ideas or your vision as to what can we do to improve downtown? If you're a selectman, what would you kind of want to work with? And to kind of give you an example, if I was someone who is looking to change a sign bylaw to help small businesses, would you be in support of that? And granted, this is a very generic change to a sign bylaw that, has a lot of different hoops to go through currently, but it's something that's generic to that effect.
Yeah, well, we already have signed bylaw. We have a committee that enforces it, and they have meetings every 2 weeks or so. But I agree with you. It's kind of a difficult and it's very complicated. And as far as signed bylaws, yeah, I think we could look into that and maybe try to make it a little bit easier, make up packages for different businesses. This is what you have to do, go through this, and make it easier. But as far as the downtown, I think this has been going on all my life. Everybody wants to make the downtown better. And we're no different than any other town around. Every town wants to make their downtown vibrant, busy, and you go across the country. I mean, we go up to Canada, and they're doing the same thing up there. They're trying to find out ways of making the downtown better. We have the lake, and, of course, that's our big draw. We got thousands of people that walk around that lake every day. Maybe we could put out, and here we go with my visions anyway, but we could put out kiosks with flyers, brochures, menu, trying to coach the people downtown to go into our businesses. Where I go to in summertime up in Canada, they have what they call a passport program. where they give a person a passport, and it's made out just like a little passport book. You go to each business, and they stamp it like a passport with a logo on it. And you go into their business, and once a week they have a drawing, and they give out prizes or gift certificates to restaurants, something like that. You know, in Boston they have the Freedom Trail. Why don't we come up with something like that and measure a trail out? Maybe walkers will come down there and walk into the downtown and back out again. And, you know, when I say the downtown, I think people forget Greenwood, too. And I won't forget Greenwood. You know, Greenwood is a part of Wakefield. It's got several restaurants there. We got a big development that's going on in there at, I believe, Harvard Health. I take that back. Mm-hmm. Hallmark Health is putting in, I think, they have parking spaces for 120 vehicles. So it's going to be a pretty big project going in there. That is going to help out the Greenwood area tremendously. The pizza shops, the donut shops, the three restaurants that are up there, this is going to be a boom for them. Next door to it is Melrose Paint, which again is going to be, I guess, converted into offices. This is going to give an economic boost to Greenwood. And that's what we should do. We should put planters out in Greenwood. We should put banners out there. Greenwood is Wakefield. Some people will say it's the capital of Wakefield, but... And, you know, it just we could do so many things. Paul DiNacco with the Main Streets program, I think that's the way to go. I mean, it's a national program, and, you know, like, kudos to him for coming up with this. We've got some grant money for the downtown. I think we're putting in those self-watering planters in the bump outs out by Alano and the Savings Bank. Beautifying the town is, you know, a beautiful town makes a vibrant town and a busy town. But... you know, I don't think I can add anything to it other than, you know, visions of having a pavilion or something on the common that we can have maybe band concerts at night that's got the electrical hitch-ups, it's got the water hitch-ups, maybe on a concrete pad that we can put picnic tables on so that when it isn't being used at night for a concert or something that people just visiting the common can sit down at. You know, make it the same shape as the bandstand or the pagoda, you know, architecturally exactly the same. We can do a lot of things, you know. These are small little things, but they add to Wakefield. Is that enough?
Yeah, no. That was a great answer, and I really appreciate you saying all that. There was something actually you said at the town meeting that I kind of wanted to also bring up that I thought was just ingenious, and I really loved it. You mentioned something, and I forget which town you said that you visited, but they have a program or a bylaw, if you will, maybe an ordinance. I don't know how it's exactly set up. But essentially what it does is it enforces the landlords to kind of care more for their empty spaces. And I know that's one of the knocks that we have in the downtown area that's not in Greenwood, that there's so many empty spaces. And basically the way that you kind of described it was after in a certain amount of time, it can be arbitrary.
Yeah, after 60 days or 90 days, they'd be required by a bylaw, the owners of the building, the property, would be required to put in drapery, artwork, murals. Where I go to in the summer is in Nova Scotia, and, of course, there it's a seafaring area, so they have all kinds of, you know, boats and, you know, sailing-type stuff in there. But it looks great. It looks great. And, you know, that's something they'd have to do. I mean, I go downtown right now, and you look at some of the stores, have got that, butcher paper just sitting in the window that's been up so long, it's just hanging down, and it looks terrible. It looks terrible. Especially the ski shop. My God, that looks terrible.
And on your, I just want to follow up on that. By the way, I actually do, I love the idea of the bylaw for people who haven't had, have had vacant property for a while. Doing something. I would actually, you know, I wonder, I think some of these absentee landlords, even some of the non-absentee ones who are renting out to establishments, I think that are completely inappropriate and not reflective of the character of the town. I think getting harder on them in general is a good idea. I got to jump back to the schools real quick. I'm sorry to do this.
Okay, go ahead.
I just got a message and somebody asked me what the difference was between your answer and Tony Longo's answer and why I
didn't hit Tony Longo's answer.
Yeah, no,
so
I just want to make it clear, and then Dan, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I thought Tony, and this isn't a shot at him, I thought Tony was hedging a lot more on the answer. I think Tony didn't come out in favor of an override at all. I thought he was very much saying, you know, kind of like you in the sense of I want to look at all our options.
Well, you'd like a debt exclusion rather than an override,
yeah,
because an override's forever.
No, you're absolutely right. So, no, let me correct myself. But he seemed much more hesitant to support even in general the idea of a debt exclusion. You know, Peter May said he would with certain conditions, the state reimbursement, as well as, you know, it was a state reimbursement and assuming that it was cheaper to build a new school than just repairing it. Dan, and then your answer seems to be you're in favor of it, but you do want to look into areas like the field, like WCAT, like central admin, like the theater, and in general, you'd like to create a, you know, make sure that the circuit breaker is being well publicized. So I think the reason I pushed back so hard on Tony as compared to why I like your answer is that Tony seemed a lot more hesitant to just even come out and say that he was in favor of it. With that said, I don't know.
And, you know, a debt exclusion is for a number of years, you know, whether it's 10, 15, 20 years. But, you know, an override goes on forever, and it keeps on going for eternity. So you'd like to get it under as a debt exclusion, but we're talking Wakefield's share of like $62 million. I don't know how you make that up, even as far as, you know, capital bonds that are coming into maturity in the next 6, 7, 8 years that we can, you know, pull some money out of there. The MSBA has what they call a model school program, and that's a school that's already built, basically, and you just sit around and you can – the MSBA says that they'll flex on certain parts of it, but that's a school that's already been designed, and they'll give you, I believe, 5% off on the total cost. And also as a green project, I think you'll get something like 2 or 3, and I think they got that with the Galvin school too. But, you know, these are little incentives.
No, you're right. I do want to shift gears, and I'll let Adam stop me. I do have more of a personal question, Danny. Dan, that I'm interested in. I work with a Danny, that's why I said that. Is in regards to your own personal story. Is you've actually run twice before, you've lost twice. I don't mean to bring up bad memories, but you've run twice, you've lost twice. What do you think is different between those two times and this time?
That's a good question. We didn't have a high school out there that we were proposing to build either. I think it was the same questions of the downtown, the school, you know, basically the same. And I think I can do the job, you know, from what I've seen over the last 3 years since I last decided to run. I can do just as good, if not better, and I think I can add to the board that's on there now. I think I said at one of the meetings that, you know, the silence was deafening there back a few years ago, and it was. I think some of the selectmen, and I'm not saying all of them or anything, not even close to all of them, but some of them are the last ones there and the first ones to leave. I will be there all the time, and I will ask the question at every meeting. There's got to be something that you've got to ask about at that meeting. You know what's going on for 2 weeks. That's what I like about Phyllis. Phyllis asks questions. They may be small questions, but they're important to the everyday people in Wakefield.
Let me pick on that statement, but I'm just curious on that. I mean, don't you think, though, a part of that is because the selectmen are volunteer? I mean, one of the things we forget about selectmen is that they have families, they have careers, they have so much on their plate, and then they also decide, hey, I'm going to try to help run a town. Would you, and I know this is universal, one of the big things I've always pushed for is I think we should have a mayor. I think you should have somebody who pays and who is responsible for getting elected. You know, I just think, so Dan, this is just me, I think that criticism may be just a bit unfair because I do think a lot of these people, you know, just they have so much on their plate, and sometimes getting to a public meeting, you know, well, as much as they love the town, you know, being a selectman for these guys is priority number three, like most of us. It's, you know, it's your family, it's your career, it's your faith. And then comes, oh, yes, I'm also a selectman. And even though what they do is very, very important, I think sometimes they get unfairly criticized for missing a meeting or not going to everything when they're not getting paid. So Would you consider, actually, now that both are, and I support this, I know it's not popular, supporting a stipend for the selectmen or some sort of incentive to say, you know, you guys do, you should get paid for the amount of work you do, or maybe even going over to a mayoral form of government where you have somebody who's actually being, you know, who's responsible to the electorate and getting paid for it.
I don't know if the selectmen have ever been paid, you know.
I don't either.
I can't remember back that far, but I don't know. You know, I go into it as a volunteer, and like you said, you know, I point out a couple of people on that board that, you know, that I say that the silence is deafening. And what I mean by that is if you look at it, watch TV, then nobody says a word that whole meeting, and then the next meeting and the next meeting. There's many selectmen on the board right now that are out there and doing their job, but you should have something to say at every meeting, at least say something about the town. Some of them, it's just silence. And I know some of the selectmen on there now that will agree with me, maybe not publicly, but they'll agree with me.
Well, I will go on. I'll say, go on the record of saying, listen, I know that's why we don't do the show as much.
You know, if you don't think you can do the job, you shouldn't be on the board. I mean, you know, I realize that, you know, you can't be there all the time, and, you know, maybe I've got more time where I'm retired, but, you know, I'll be on there all the time. I mean, I will, you know, I'm going to miss a meeting or two just like anybody else, but, you know, I'm going to put my effort into being a selectman and not, you know, as a side job for my other job.
I will say, so I'm going to push back on this point, though, because I will say I think that the selectman, I think that if you're going to go to a selectman meeting, if you don't have anything to say, that's fine. One of the best school committee members I've ever worked with is Cheryl Ford. She was amazing. She did incredible work. She barely talked at the meeting. And, you know, I guess I wouldn't read that much into it. And, you know, I'm not going to force you, because we only have 2 minutes left, I'm not going to force you to call out who actually said that, but I will say if there are some selectmen who don't think their colleagues speak as much and they're willing to say it privately, they should have the guts to say it publicly, only because I think, you know what, I think that it's how you maintain debate. I mean, you ask your colleagues point blank, what do you think? I mean, nobody's going to get mad at you. We live in a small town. If somebody gets mad at you for asking you what do you think at a public meeting, then shame on them. I actually think the selectmen who don't have the guts to say it, you know, publicly are probably the bigger problem than the ones who aren't saying a thing. But if you think your selectmen have something to say, say it, ask them publicly at the meeting. You know, those selectmen, selectman one could easily say at a board of selectmen meeting, hey, I haven't heard from you, what do you think? Yeah, so.
So,
and
just to kind of interject, here, Dan, we have about exactly 2 minutes left on the show. So, for about a minute, maybe a little bit longer, if you just want to kind of give us your stump speech here and just let everybody know, you know, to vote on the 26th, if you want to do that, go right ahead. It's all yours.
Okay. Want me to give you I wasn't prepared for it, but as you know, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm on the Veterans Advisory Board, a member of the Vietnam Veterans of America. I'm the chairman of the Council of Aging, Commission on Disability as a co-chairman, the Historical Commission, the Traffic Advisory Commission, the founding committee of the Boys and Girls Club of Wakefield. I was co-chairman of for 12 years of the 4th of July Parade Committee, and I wish the best for Patrick Sullivan. You know, and I will represent you for you. I will speak at the selectmen's meeting like a selectman should. And if I could say, I humbly ask for your vote on April 26th for Wakefield's future. We can all work together, and we can make things happen. Thank you.
No, I got to tell you, I will say, again, I'm very impressed with your override answer. I thought that was, for somebody who represents seniors and veterans, I think, again, no offense to your mayor, Tony, I thought that was a very thoughtful answer, you know. So kudos to you on that, because I expected you to come out completely opposed. So I'm here flabbergasted. So
I think the thing is, we got to work together. That's the whole thing. Work together, and we'll get things done. But we got to work together. Speak at the meetings, and you'd be surprised. Ideas can become dreams. Dreams become a future. Did I just say that?
You did. Well. With that said,
Thanks, everybody, for listening. You can always listen to us at blogtalkradio.com/AP_course. Dan, thank you for coming in on the show. We really appreciate it. Best of luck, and thank you for running. We tell every candidate, you know, kudos to you for having the guts to go out there, put your name out there. It's, you know, your life on the line, not ours. So, again, thank you for running.
Well, thank you, and Lois, get me another Sam Adams. we're doing a history course here.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, with that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anthony. Thank you, Adam.
You did great.
Bye.
Bye.